morning's text continues the unfolding drama found in the book of Kings. Last week, we focused on Elijah receiving the call to prophetic ministry. And this morning, we are reminded of the story of his ministry in a diverse community. In this story, we meet Naaman, a commander of the Aramean army. Naaman is a non-Israelite suffering with leprosy. And by way of contrast, we also meet Elijah, an Israelite prophet, who offers healing and demonstrates God's inclusion and love for all. Reading from 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 1 to 14. Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Aram, was a great man and in high favor with his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Aram. The man, though a mighty warrior, suffered from leprosy. Now the Arameans, on one of their raids, had taken a young girl captive from the land of Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my Lord were with the prophet who was in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." So Naaman went in and told his Lord just what the girl from the land of Israel had said. And the king of Aram said, "Go then, and I will send along a letter to the king of Israel." He went, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of garments. He brought the letter to the king of Israel, which read, "When this letter reaches you, know that I have sent you to my servant Naaman, that you may cure him of his leprosy." When the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to give death and life, that this man sends word to me to cure a man of his leprosy? Just look and see how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me." But when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he sent a message to the king, "Why have you torn your clothes? Let him come to me that he may learn that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came, his horses and chariots, and halted at the entrance of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a message to him saying, "Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored. You shall be clean." But Naaman became angry and went away saying, "I thought that for me he would surely have come out, stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, and would wave his hand over the spot and cure the leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" He turned and went away in a rage. Servants approached them and said to him, "Father, if the prophet had commanded you to do something difficult, would you not have done it? How much more when all he said to you was, 'Wash and be clean'?" So he went down and immersed himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God. His flesh was restored like the flesh of a young boy. It's clean. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Holy One, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be ever and always acceptable unto you. For you are our rock and our redeemer, our Alpha and our Omega, our beginning and our end, source of our love, and a wellspring of our joys. Amen. Would you switch places with another person to find a deeper understanding of their journey, of their struggle, and of their pain? Would you switch places with another person to gain a deeper understanding of their reality and their experience? I'm thinking immediately with that question of our neighbors right over the fence. Right over the fence on Canada Day morning as we were arising and preparing for plans to celebrate our country's birthday, and several families were vacating the course of a house fire. Fire department was attending right here in our area. They had a staging area set up. As families were vacating, fire was taking over their home. Lost their home. They've lost a place to live for the next little while. They've lost some of the household treasures that they held so near and dear. Everything is changed for them. I've been in conversation with the Strata Committee just to find out the names of these folks and how this church might be a good neighbor and connect with them and support them through this struggle ahead. Would we switch places and find a deeper understanding of someone's struggle, someone's pain? Thinking about a conversation I had many years ago with one of our former moderators, the Right Reverend Bob Smith, though he would be quite angry if anyone called him that, he is Bob. And Bob was telling me when I was a student what it was like years ago for him when he was a student about switching places and learning about others' reality. What happened to him was he went and he lived for a weekend along with other theological students in the downtown East Side. Switched places from being a student living in the downtown East Side amidst poverty. All the students were given was a $5 bill and a directory of the services available for people living on the street. And over that course of the weekend, they would experience neglect and absolute poverty. And at the end of the weekend, they would gather together to debrief on Sunday night, share the stories of what they had experienced. Would you switch places with someone else? Find out what their reality is. Their joys and their pains, their struggles, their life. Would you switch places and find a deeper understanding of life for them? This morning's text reminds us of a world ruled by separations, a world ruled by divisions. And the thought of switching places was unappealing as it is now, as it was back then. Now, in the time of Jesus, separations were quite pronounced. Jew, Gentile, male, female, slave, free. Prior to Jesus, in the book of Kings, the separations really that we're visiting this morning are about countries, places we live. Aram and Israel. Those differences are quite profound. We would like to pretend that our world is evolved and elegant and sophisticated today, wouldn't we? But there are still very subtle and sometimes quite pronounced forms of separation and segregation. Separations based on status and ethnicity, separations based on religion or gender or sexual orientation. In the story of Naaman's healing, we find an introduction to a world that in many ways is, I think, quite similar to ours today. A world where differences really seem to matter. A world of different countries, the mighty Arameans and the Israelites. A world of different kings. A world of different power bases. The mighty commander, Naaman, commander of the Aramean army, the slave girl, not even given the dignity in the text of a name. Prior to this morning's text, there had been some type of military raid. So the Arameans are raiding Israel. Perhaps Naaman and his troops are part of that raid. In the course of the raid, they take over a number of people, slaves. This young slave girl is one of them. To Naaman's wife is given a gift, this little slave girl. She is given as a gift to Naaman's wife. And in the course of her learning how she will serve the family, this is now her plight in life, she learns that Naaman, this powerful commander,
well, not everything is perfect for him. Naaman has a horrible skin affliction called leprosy. But she knows that there might be a cure. She knows back in her homeland there would be a cure for him. And she says, if only my master, if only Naaman would come back to my land, he would be cured. How wonderful a turn of events in this story. How beautiful. Naaman can be cured of his leprosy. What a wonderful story. His king, the king of Aram, is delighted. He sends gifts ahead to the king of Israel, gifts to thank him for this healing that he anticipates curing his general. Gifts of silver, gifts of gold, 10 sets of garments, all for the king of Israel. Gifts fit for a king. But the story, as we hear, is not so very simple, is it? The story is steeped with expectations, with privilege, with senses of entitlement. Naaman expects to be greeted as royalty. As royalty, he expects the biblical equivalent of a day at the spa. He expects to go in with everyone knowing who he is and to be treated as such. Elijah offers a prescription for healing. Elijah says to him, go and wash in the Jordan River 7 times and you will be healed. Naaman is appalled. He's furious. Don't you know who I am? You want me, a commander of the Aramean army, to go and bathe in your lowly, filthy waters? Don't you know that we have much mightier waters? We have mighty waters in Aram, cleaner, more powerful, and you want me to stoop to your level and bathe in your filthy, dirty water. Naaman wants special treatment. But he doesn't receive any, does he? Simply a prescription. A prescription to cross over and experience the Israelite culture and the healing that he might find in walking in this new way. So Naaman crosses over. Naaman crosses over to this other side, to this new experience, new languages, new cultures, new learnings. And as a result of this change of his way, of his humility, Naaman is cured. Text says that his flesh is restored to that of a young boy. How wonderful. I wonder though, if we were Naaman, would we be willing to switch places? Would we be willing to cross over and experience a new culture and everything new in order to receive that healing? To go outside of our comfort zones, to go outside, but to receive healing, to receive restoration in new ways. Have our eyes opened, to see in a new reality, to see in a new way, to have the divisions between our two countries, Aram and Israel, torn down that we might be restored. You know, when we think about it, the Christian virtue of compassion has its roots in this practice, doesn't it? Passion comes from those two Latin words, calm with, passio, passion, suffering, to suffer with. It's a call to suffer with. It's a call to embrace the other. It's a call to a deeper understanding of the other. It's a call to deeply embrace their reality as if it were yours. Call to compassion for Naaman. Challenge for him is he able? Is he able to embrace the other? Is he able to embrace the suffering of the others? Story. Profound challenge in this story is an invitation for us to be open, to understand our differences, our separations, to understand the divisions of hierarchy and status and culture. And one of the absolute beautiful messages, beautiful gospel good news in this text, I think, is that we are given a window into a God who is blind to our divisions, blind to the worldly divisions we have of hierarchy, blind to the worldly divisions of status, blind to the worldly divisions of culture. In fact, we find that God does not grant partiality because of culture or status. In fact, God's mission is about breaking down differences, breaking down separations, breaking down in order that we might be built together in terms of family, that we might be united as kin in order for the kingdom of God to be further created. Can we share in the other's experience, their suffering, and in their pain, in their joys, and in their sorrows? I think in this passage we meet a God whose healing is offered through the action of crossing over to meet the realities of the other. And the faith question, the immediate faith question, I think, that comes up for us is, what would we have done? What would we have done if we were Naaman? Would we have protested as Naaman did? Or would we have humbled ourselves and followed the prescription that Elisha offers? Are we prepared and open enough to immerse ourselves in these foreign waters, or do we feel, like Naaman, entitled to the privileges that we're used to? And I think it's interesting. I don't know that in this text that we really, in order to engage with it fully, I don't know that we need to move to foreign lands or do anything radically different in order to really live out its message. I think the story at its core is asking the question, are we prepared to begin to understand the differences? The differences of the person right beside you or right behind or in front of you. Differences of the other. I think when we start to do that, we begin to really unpack what this story was about. I was thinking about our ministry here at Northwood and how this has been lived out in our sponsorship of the refugee family. As we got to know the Hamoud family, saw some of their pictures and heard some of their stories over time, we gained a deeper understanding in the other ways of culture, the other ways of food and religion. And we first got to meet them. We welcomed them family. We embraced them. We welcomed them. And it wasn't just a ministry to them. It was also a ministry to us as well, as together we all grew. And I would suggest that we all were healed in the process too. I think the text is really asking us at core, are we ready to move beyond an us versus them mentality and then view the other as a neighbor, the other as a friend, the other as fellow child of God? I wonder, just almost as a metaphorical speaking of the Jordan River, I wonder what the metaphorical reality for you, for myself, what that would be like to bathe in the Jordan. What would that look like for you in your reality today? What would it be like to share someone else's bathwater? Sharing a bath is an odd thing to think about, isn't it? Sharing someone else's bath water, because sharing one's bath is a very intimate, it's a very specific kind of thing, because I suspect you, like myself, want your bath exactly the way you want it, don't you? We know the temperature we want our bath. We know the right amount of bubbles or no bubbles at all. We have our specific bath items, sponges and loofahs and all the kind of stuff. We want things just right. Thinking about bathing my little children when they were really, really little. Talking about so little that my two kids would actually get in the bath together. And I would draw the bath exactly the right temperature. I had their favorite bath toys, just the right amount of bubbles. And those kids, splish, splash, would have a lovely, fun bath. But over time, they got older. And over time, separations began. Eventually, my oldest, my daughter, she said, I'm not getting in the bath with him. And then he heard that and he said, I'm not getting in the bath with her. And eventually, separate bath times were established. Divisions began to occur. And over time, our world has stopped sharing bath water with one another. Crossing over. Over time, we thought that water fountains were only for certain colored people and not for other colored people. Over time, we thought that separations were okay based on ethnicity, or based on gender, or based on whatever we assigned it to be. Today, it seems like the separations are mostly pronounced around human sexuality. Naaman was this great military commander, but he thought he was too good to cross over and experience the bathwater of another culture. Even when a cure for his leprosy was promised. And ironically, we know that that's the same water that our Lord Jesus would later be baptized generations after. Yet the cure was found. Cure was found when he switched over. You know, I was thinking about that cure. Like, what really cured Naaman? And I wonder if it's kind of twofold. I wonder as much if there was something magical about the waters Jordan, but I wonder equally if really the cure was also found in his decision, in his action to cross over and experience the other as well. To experience the other and to be introduced to a God whose boundaries had no separations at all. And it was about creating love and community and welcoming one another as kin. The season of summer is one when we ponder a lot about God. Might spend a little extra time reading, doing some summer reading, enjoying God's beautiful creation, growing in our faith in all those ways. And in the ways that we kind of get out in the neighborhood, kind of go to the beach sometimes and get toes between our sand and get a little dirty. We sometimes sit on the grass and enjoy God's creation and get our bottom, a little bit of grass stains there. Sometimes the heat is on our brow and we get some sweat and we get a little dirty that way. I wonder if the call in this text is for us to step outside of our comforts, to go and meet the other, bathe in the foreign waters, have our eyes opened, the reality of a God who welcomes and loves us beyond measure. May it be so. Amen.